Community Connection on the way next, brought to you this morning by Jane Phillips Medical Center and Tulsa Bone & Joint of Bartlesville, working together to keep you on the move, also by First Baptist Church. I get the opportunity to talk things over with Lauren Green from Bartlesville Symphony, and with a lot of things we could talk about, your 2016-2017 season, and we can get that into if you want to, but you got an event coming up with your annual, what is it, fifth grade concert coming up.
Well, yeah, it's something we've been doing now for several years. We decided to target fifth graders and to actually give a concert during the school day at the Bartlesville Community Center and provide transportation into the center for every fifth grader. And this is not just Bartlesville fifth graders, but it's from the entire region. Last year, we filled up, literally, we filled up the community center with about 1,600 children, from as far away as Arkansas City, Kansas, up towards Coffeyville, east, southwest, all directions. They converged on the community center for a one-hour concert that we just give them that has some stuff to do with their curriculum and fun narration and some visuals and gets them in there and out of there, but gives them an experience with an orchestra that they probably never get in their life.
Well, it's nice to be up close, at least within, you know, visual distance of these instruments and seeing them played well and have fun in the process.
Well, even in Bartlesville, but let alone in some of the rural school districts, my gosh, how, you know, these kids, it may be the only time they ever see a symphony orchestra live in person, and maybe the only time they ever step inside that building even. And to see that it's fun, to see how stories can be told with music, utilizing all these bright, shiny, loud instruments up there, it's great fun. And they just eat it up. They just eat it up.
Well, at least they should. This is marvelous. This is, as I see it, at least an outgrowth of something that the symphony has done for a longer period of time, where you went into at least the local schools and kind of did a introduction and then invited them to a symphony concert. I had the opportunity to help narrate Peter and the Wolf and had a great time.
Right.
And I'm sure that was kind of phase one of what you're doing now.
It's part of what every orchestra, every arts group should be doing, which is to reach out to the non-traditional audience. Mm-hmm. There are those people who will pay the money to get in, buy a ticket, and see a concert or see an event or whatever. But there's a whole, younger generation who either can't afford that sort of thing, or they simply are not in that, what do you say, mindset where their families would attend these sort of things. And so this is an exposure that may open them up to a world that they never knew existed, whether it's making music for themselves or just listening to a different style of music than they hear on the radio.
Mm-hmm. And I think that builds an awareness of everything from movie soundtracks to the whole world of music.
Well, you know, and we could get really philosophical here, and I know you and I share this, Charlie, but as we look at the world around us and some of the crazy things that continue to happen, but just, you know, the exposure to the arts, the ability to express, to understand, to be touched by something you hear or see or listen to, that's being lost in our culture. And it's being lost in our educational system. Just last night in the newspaper, I think it was last night, was a very long letter. Now, I'm not going to get into the politics of pro or con on the bond issue, but there was a very long letter from a person who was dead set against the bond issue because it funded all these extra non-essential things like sports and like the arts and stuff that really don't matter in education. And I tend to see a bigger picture of what education really means. And I think historically, as you go through the centuries, education, yes, it meant learning to read, learning to do things that you have to do to survive. But there was a greater aspect to survival in this world than just doing the bare essentials. It had to do with living and sharing. And That's where the arts come in.
This is a topic that probably has been discussed for decades, or centuries even. Wonderful film, you like it or not, Mr. Holland's Opus, Richard Dreyfuss had a great line in there when his band program was being cut, something to the effect, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly, talking to either the superintendent or a principal of the school in the story, you know, if you cut out the music and the theater and the arts, you will continue to teach the youngsters how to read and write, but what will they read and write about?
Yes, yes, yes. And what will they feel? And so, anyway, that's a long roundabout answer to why this sort of an outreach is important for any artistic group to touch the lives, touch young lives in some way. An orchestra our size, which is really pretty small potatoes in the big world out there, we can't do a whole lot. But we found that this way to reach fifth graders, just to target one small segment, is a starting point. And when you see 1,600 kids marching into that community center, excited to see those 60 players up on stage, and when they hear those first sounds of music, they are enthralled. And it's great fun.
Well, and when you look at how music affects us emotionally, I don't care if we're talking music on the radio, music as part of a church service, music as part of a film experience, it's an emotional, visceral experience.
Yes, it really should be. And the one thing we do in this concert and how we relate it to the kids is it's called Fairy Tales and Fables or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, the whole gist of the 45 minutes of music that we have is several pieces that talk about different fables and fairy tales that they may encounter in school or may not, but to show how they're depicted in some aspect in the music. So we have a piece about Peer Gynt running through the Hall of the Mountain King, a very famous piece that people would recognize, and how it gets faster and faster as the king is trying to, you know, this evil king is trying to snatch at him. Then one about Don Quixote encountering the flock of sheep and how chaos erupts as he's just wailing on those sheep and then feels a little sheepish himself after he realizes what he just did.
And there are so many pieces that you could get into, and I don't know the whole concert lineup, but there are so many great stories that are told can be told entirely with sound.
Oh, yeah. But we do one, and this is sort of the climax of the concert. It's a 15-minute work, and they sit here for it, but it incorporates video, it incorporates narration, and it's a Native American folktale called Spider Brings Fire. And this is, a legit folktale from Native American, I think it's Chickasaw tradition, and set to music by Native American composer Jared Tate, who lives in Oklahoma City.
He was here when you premiered that piece.
Yes. And so we do this. Maria Gus, who's well known in the community, narrates it in Indian attire. And we have video projections of a book that was written on this folktale. And it's wonderful. And it has a moral to the story, too, and that is that the least of us can accomplish the greatest things. And to present this with the Native American-sounding music and the visuals and the narration and the whole thing put together is an exciting thing for the students. One, probably my most fun part is at the very end, though, where we do some excerpts from Stravinsky's Firebird, of all things. And tell a little bit about the fairy tale. And I tell the kids, now, if you're asleep, you better not be. And because we hit that first chord of the infernal dance, and it is one of the loudest chords, just hits instantly, boom. And you can just hear them go about a foot out of their seats and then land and go, but they experience the power of a symphony and the excitement. And it's just really neat.
Well, just I don't know how many years you've been doing this type of concert. I know it's been three or four, but you've got to have some expressions of these kids are walking out the door and hear their conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Even though the teachers are probably saying, be quiet, walk slowly and all.
They are just so jazzed, and it's so exciting, too, to get, you know, just these big envelopes full of thank you notes and pictures and how the kids interpreted their experience there, and they really do. They really do enjoy it.
Most of the orchestra members, I have to feel confident, can point to some experience as a youngster that got them interested.
You know, I bet that's exactly true. And I'm sure you can, and I know I can. I remember being taken to a series of four youth concerts during the year that were presented. I didn't know where they came from. We bought them at school or something, and one of them was the Pasadena Symphony. One of them was the LA Philharmonic, mm-hmm. you know, that would come to Pasadena and do a concert. And they were kids' concerts, and I just thought, oh, this is pretty cool. I didn't realize, but they were doing exactly the same thing of reaching out to kids on a series. And that was my first experience.
Well, and of course, for those of us that grew up in that time period, there was the, I believe, Saturday afternoon broadcast, Leonard Bernstein sitting at the piano and the doing the children's concerts
right.
on television.
I'm sorry, I'm too young to remember
okay,
this,
well,
Charlie.
I am older. It's okay. But
that's right. That affected a whole generation of kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, things like that. Just people and the reaching out of saying, here's some exciting music I'd like to share with you. You may only be 10 years old, but I think it's cool. And that's where we're at.
Well, Disney basically did the same thing with the Fantasia, you know,
yes.
as far as taking quality music, orchestral music, and doing what Disney did with it.
And that was sort of a backdoor,
yeah.
You know, an end run, so to speak, because you couch, you know, and we can all talk about various other, a lot of the Warner Brothers or various other things
mm-hmm.
that
with their silly symphonies and everything.
Yeah, classical music. They got it in through the back door. They didn't say, and now, boys and girls, we are going to talk about the classical period, and here's the music of Mozart. Isn't this wonderful? No, they used it, and suddenly it became part of your musical world without realizing it.
Yeah.
And
John Williams, with all of his music, again, taking it to the film, and mm-hmm. it's the opening sequence for Star Wars, or it's the Indiana Jones, and if it were not for that music, we wouldn't have enjoyed the film nearly as well.
No, that's right. And of course, we can get into that, too, with John Williams, who sort of brought back film scoring for a full symphony orchestra, whereas
yeah.
through the 50s and 60s, a lot of that had waned. And so suddenly the symphonic sound became familiar to people again. And so even though so many people still say, oh, I'm not into symphony music, that's not for me, you know, I like what I hear on the radio, but they don't realize that they're listening to symphony music.
I'm sorry, John McCartney, Paul McCartney has several concertos and I believe a symphony out,
I believe.
I'm really
hoping, and here we segue into the season, I'm really hoping to do one of his pieces in November.
Well, we'll talk about that
British
when
concert.
We continue with Lauren Green in just a moment.
Complete orthopedic care with a collaborative approach. Tulsa Bone & Joint and Jane Phillips Medical Center have teamed up to deliver a proactive approach for the prevention, care, and treatment of all bone and joint injuries. Depend on our compassionate surgeons and medical staff for all your family's orthopedic needs. Call today for your appointment, 918-214-8232. Tulsa Bone & Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Continuing our time with Lauren Green and talking about a concert coming up real soon at the Bartlesville Community Center. Your students, wherever they go to school, probably will come home and talk about it. And it may be a day or so before they get the excitement down to where they can really talk about it. But they will hopefully be able to call at least a few of the instruments by name.
Well, that's right. And again, this is specifically fifth graders. But, you know, it's funny. This concert, the approach we've chosen to take, and it's only one of many approaches, but we actually don't do much of this is a flute, mm-hmm. this is an oboe sort of thing. We simply say this is a symphony, and we talk about the folk tales, and we relate the folk tales and the fables and the storylines behind the music. But I don't get a lot of nitty-gritty about who's doing what. even though that's beneficial.
Yeah.
It just can just do so much in 45 minutes.
Well, yeah, but somewhere along the line, that you're going to have the sound of a piano or the sound of a French horn or the sound of something that's going to catch a particular youngster's attention.
Right. And when you combine the visual with it, you know, that they're actually seeing that happening, then they get very excited about it. And we targeted fifth grade in part because that's the year before they are entering into middle school. And as they get into middle school, then they can start making those decisions about, do I want to be in the school orchestra? Do I want to be in the school band? That's when those opportunities, as limited as they are anymore, do start opening up.
Mm-hmm.
So far, they're still there, and we hope they stay there. So this is, we figured, is sort of the prime time to get their interest, get their attention, and they might say the following year, hey, I want to try that myself.
Well, and several of the communities that you mentioned have something that brings music to their community. I'm thinking Coffeyville and Arkansas City, I think, both have a community concert association.
Probably.
With reciprocity to ours.
Probably.
And so there, hopefully you're not the only opportunity.
Right, right. But at the same time, a lot of those smaller districts, especially the rural districts, won't have much within the system,
mm-hmm.
Let alone in their little towns. And so we feel this is a really great exposure opportunity for those students. So this comes up actually at the end of this month on August 31st. We do it at Wednesday right about noon, right between the bus runs to and from school. And thanks to the community center crew, they have it down to a fine science. So they know how to get the buses in order, get those kids in there within 20 minutes, 1,600 kids filing into their assigned seats in the community center, and then get them back out and on their buses. And they can do that in about an hour's time. And somewhere in there we give a concert.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how it goes.
And because with all the school funding issues going on, not only in Oklahoma but in Kansas, it probably would be important to mention that the bus run is funded by the symphony.
That's right. The way it works out is we pay for the buses. The school system provides them, fortunately, but the cost of running them, we pay for. How that works with the districts at a distance, I'm not exactly sure. Fortunately, that's not my area to worry about. I just worry about getting the players on stage and doing the narration.
You make the music. Everybody else can worry about the details.
I do my shtick on stage.
And you do it very well.
Well, it's fun. And to relate to that many kids. And you know what's amazing? One would fear facing 1,600 fifth graders in a brand new situation. And those kids are the most well-behaved. They're not like under threat of death. Well, maybe they are, but they don't behave that way. They behave like they want to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And they're excited and sort of a twitter, you know, but there's not a whole lot of spitwads and yelling and silly stuff going on. It's a great time for everybody. So it's well received.
Well, you did mention a hint of the upcoming 2016-17 season, and I know that's not the main thrust, but we've got about 3 minutes left. And you mentioned something, a work by Paul McCartney, other sort of things you'd like to work.
Yeah,
into
you know what we're doing real quickly this coming season, and we'll be back to talk about all this stuff. But some of the concerts have sort of international themes,
mm-hmm.
where it shows the crossing back and forth between United States and the various countries or cultures. So in October, we do Russian, back and forth with Russian. So not only are we doing like Tchaikovsky piano concerto, but we're going to do Shostakovich arrangement of T for Two.
Cool.
And some other interesting surprises.
Even though I'd prefer the Shostakovich 5, yeah, the T for Two is fun.
Yeah. A little bit different.
Yeah.
1812 overture.
Always
you know,
fun.
Yeah, you know, so that'd be fun.
You get the French national anthem and the Russian national anthem in there together.
Yes, and some cannons and all sorts of crazy stuff. In November, it's British, and so that's where Paul McCartney comes in, and we're trying to make arrangements right now to do some of the music he's written for orchestra,
mm-hmm.
Quote, classical music that he got into in the 90s. And so that'll be fun, and some other stuff. We have a violin soloist who's doing we're actually the world premiere of a Beatles suite of Beatles songs for violin and orchestra. So
great.
It'll be real fun. And then Spanish in March with a guitarist. And then we'd have the Rat Pack coming in May.
Right.
So, you know, Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr., well, they won't be here,
sorry.
But only in spirit.
Yeah.
But we'll have three guys who are doing their shtick and their tunes, and it'll be fun.
Well, and particularly, I don't know the crew, but a lot of those guys have had fun and an affinity for that sort of music, and they look or sound something similar to.
Exactly, yeah.
And so why not do it? You know?
Yeah, yeah. It should be great. Yeah.
Well, and that's something that you try to work both the traditional symphonic fare and the entire world of music in somewhere in your season.
Really do, and this year we're really almost doing it every single concert, because there's lighthearted stuff, there's easygoing classical, almost pop stuff, right next to the serious classical, and we want to give everybody just sort of a variety and show them how exciting this world of symphonic music can be.
And you always bring in some high school aged musicians throughout the season to become, at least for a year or two, members of the symphony.
We have some in the symphony, and of course in March we also feature the winner of our young artist competition. Mm-hmm. And so that competition will take place, I believe, in January. And then the winner performs in March with the orchestra.
Sounds like it's going to be another great season.
So again, just finding ways to reach out and touch the hearts of as many people as we can.
And you're starting it out with the hearts of fifth graders.
Fifth graders, yep.
How fun. Lauren, thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you,
if people are interested in buying season tickets now, are they available
yes,
online?
Yes, they are now. Just contact the Bartlesville Community Center, either at their website or in person or on the phone, and they can hook you up.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to a resounding cheer from the vicinity of the community center as the kids are getting back on the buses August 31st.
August 31st. It's a Wednesday.
Okay.
Wednesday around noon.
Earplugs if you're around there, because the kids might be loud. Thanks, sure. Lauren.
Thanks.
Lauren Green with the Bartlesville Symphony Orchestra with us on Community Connection on this Thursday morning. Community Connection again brought to you by Jane Phillips Medical Center and by Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville, helping you on the move.
Oh, and in.